This is Community Voices on NPR Illinois 91.9 UIS.
For co-host Bea Bonner, I'm Randy Eccles. The latest from NPR News is coming up in 20 minutes at the top of the hour. You can read about past Community Voices segments and listen on demand to most of them at nprillinois.org. To conclude today's Community Voices, let's enjoy Brazilian, now Central Illinoisan, musician and professor Jose Govo Jr. We'll start with Little from his album, Zay.
I'm Randy Eccles, and for host Bea Bonner, we'd like to welcome our guest today. But before we do that, let me just remind you that Community Voices is on weekdays at noon and Saturdays at 5 p.m. Jose, let me ask you to introduce yourself.
I'm Jose Gobo. I'm a Brazilian guitar player. I have been playing jazz for the past 15 years or so, so that's my main specialty. I'm mostly a jazz guitar player, but I play whatever people pay me to play. I started my academic life going to undergrad in Brazil. Then I came to the United States in 2011 to pursue my master's. And since I got a master's, I'm like, why not get a doctorate? So that's what I did. Finished the doc, got it done last year, August of 2020. And now I'm teaching at UIS.
How did you find yourself in Springfield?
I got the doctorate at the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign, which is not that far. But on my first year there, I already had, like, I tried to keep myself active playing as much as possible. I met some people right when I got there, people who had connections in Springfield. I played gigs here. That's how I heard about the city. That's how I learned it was the capital and all. So, yeah, I started playing with people, like, I don't know if you're familiar with Frank Parker, trumpet player. Virgil Rhodes, saxophone player, Julie Brown, singer. That's when I got to Champaign. That's in 2014. So that's when I started coming to Springfield.
Now you're at UIS and you said you are teaching music classes?
I'm an adjunct teacher. I'm teaching basically two classes on the school. It's a beginning class guitar, which is a group class, which is a fun challenge for me, like, to teach a lot of people who have the majority of them are just learning how to pick up the instrument, the beginning guitar class, and also individual lessons. That's all levels, however they... There's also another class that is affiliated with the UIS community school, which people can sign up for as well, and they don't have to be registered at UIS.
What venues did you play at in Springfield when you were here?
I remember the first place was a place, I don't think it's open anymore, in Springfield at least. It's called Donnie's Homespun. There's a bunch of places downtown, like Robbie's, which unfortunately I think it's kind of closing as well.
Everybody's had a tough time over the break and has had to make some decisions. And I think that is what Robbie's decided to do. COVID has impacted some of these venues. It's probably impacted you being able to give lessons too. You were just talking about this class. Is it virtual? Is it online?
Yeah, now we're starting in, well, actually the first 2 weeks were supposed to be online, and we were supposed to move to in-ground this week. But then because of the weather being too cold, like we decided to keep it for one more week in at Zoom, which yeah, it has its challenges, but it has its advantages as well for teaching. Like I can share my screen and I can show them. That's what I'm taking advantage of the most. I can share my screen and write their assignments in front of them and show teach them how to use the software notation as well, which in person would have been hard. In general, yeah, in person is it's definitely better, like to have the contact with the students.
They're learning jazz guitar in particular.
Not really, because those are people that are this class, it's a beginning class guitar. So it's mostly people learning like the how to find the names of the notes and learning like I'm starting to teach them a few chords and a few songs, like songs like Knocking on Heaven's Door. It has like three chords. So they can already start feeling like they're playing something as well. It's not like something you have to prepare for years and then start making music. You can have both.
I think that helps a lot for keeping people interested as they go through that first sort of period of figuring it out. You seem quite passionate when you're not teaching the basics of guitar. What are your influences?
I started playing because of rock and roll music. So it's kind of fun to hear this guitar. Like lots of these guys that are starting to play right now, they're inspired by the same stuff that I was when I started, like Guns N' Roses, Jimi Hendrix, Metallica, which I don't listen to a whole lot nowadays, but when I do, I like it. But mostly like my main people that I consider like main influence, I would say Wes Montgomery, but mostly people in the jazz world. People like Wayne Shorter, John Coltrane, Keith Jarrett, Herbie Hancock, McCoy
So
Tyner.
not all guitarists then.
Oh no, yeah, exactly. Because jazz guitar, it's like that we can't. It's not if you mention the word jazz, probably guitar is not the first thing that jumps to your mind, right? But there are guys that made a huge impact. Probably Wes Montgomery being and Django Reinhardt, the two main names, like in.
Al DiMeola, I see working the internet quite a bit, and John McLaughlin in the past.
Oh
And
yeah.
do you find that jazz and rock cross over at all?
That's how I landed here, universe, by playing rock first, and then this thing people call fusion, like which is Miles Davis was one of the guys that started doing in the late 60s, blending elements of rock music with jazz. At first, jazz was I was really into the rock guitar guys. I wanted to be the fastest guitar player in the world. And when I heard jazz, I remember like the sound like Charlie Parker. I really didn't like the sound quality, from the 40s. It was not that great. And I couldn't read the notes to me didn't make any sense, to me sounded just like a bunch of notes. Just a connection with rock. Then I started hearing bands like Weather Report and Miles's Electric Groups. And seeing, well, and then there's a lot more guitar on that type of music. That's how I kind of got into hearing guitar players playing those jazzy sounds, but on a guitar. And I started researching, oh, what are those guys influenced by? Oh, Charlie Parker, Coltrane, and like, oh, so let's check that out. And then I got st I'm still stuck in there.
Have you gotten down to St. Louis or East St. Louis and seen Miles's statue and different things?
No, that's the thing. Like I have too. That's something that I lived in Iowa City before moving to Illinois. And when I first got there, I looked in the map and was like, wow, this is pretty close to Chicago, which I heard a lot about. And in my first, I don't know, maybe like 2 weeks in Iowa, I already made plans to go to Chicago and met people there. Actually, like even started playing gigs there, like quite familiar with Chicago. But never been to St. Louis and also Indianapolis. That's another one that I never been to that I need to
Right.
check out.
Did you get to go to the Green Mill when you're up in Chicago and places
A
like that?
lot. I was fortunate enough to play. I played at the Jazz Showcase, which is another major club there. I played there four times, and which is like to me was a great honor.
How's the Springfield scene seem to you since you've gotten here?
It's weird for everybody, but to me, it's a little maybe more weird because I actually stayed since last summer. I was playing weekly. There's a place downtown Springfield called the Buzz Bomb, and we were playing there. I think I looked at my calendar. It was since the first week of June. When the state first opened up, we started playing there weekly with Frank Parker, and we played every weekend starting in June and up to New Year's Eve. So everybody's complaining that there are no gigs and nobody's playing. We kept it going. Like, it was strange. It was a strange feeling within a strange feeling. We kept it going since the first week of June up to New Year's Eve. And actually, we even played in January. It was kind of strange that nobody was playing and everybody complaining, but we had this weekly gig that we kept for half of the year. That was quite remarkable.
Did you have to mask up, keep distance when you're doing your gigs?
Yes. We played, that was outside. It was, we even on the New Year's, we played outside. And then there's a couple of measurements that they took, like especially to go inside, you have to definitely wear masks. And sometimes we managed to stay distant outside and we could play without masks, but mostly yes.
Obviously you were able to find some gigs to play, but most people aren't even thinking they can go out and see music. So what do you hope when we get a little bit more ready to go out, what do you hope to see as a musician?
I have absolutely no idea, you know, like what I'm trying to do during these times is to just keep, as I have always, just keep working to become a better musician first. When I started playing jazz, from the beginning, I could tell that it was not going to be it would be kind of a weird path, you know, to try to make a living as a jazz musician. I was aware of that right in the beginning. You know, so it didn't shock me too much with the pandemic situations. Yes, things got rough and everything. I'm just trying to keep working on becoming a better musician and be prepared to whatever happens next. Now, if you're asking more from a business standpoint, you know, how things are going to go, it's really, really, really hard to predict. I have absolutely no idea. The vaccine, right? I guess nowadays everything's controversial. I think it makes sense that people should take the vaccine, and that's what I'm hoping for, and I will get it the first chance that I get. But I have lots of friends that are just like, no, you know, and they have their arguments and it's fine.
You're listening to Community Voices on NPR Illinois 91.9 UIS. We're speaking with Jose Gobo, who is a music instructor at the University of Illinois Springfield. Jose, you've also started a podcast. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing with that.
One idea that I had that I brought up to my dear boss, I need a big shout out to Dr. Yona Stamatis. I just mentioned to her and she bought the idea of just doing going online once a week for 1 hour, just talking about stuff that I have been practicing over the week, or just concepts that, because nowadays, you know, there's no shortage of material on YouTube, right? You can find anything that you want. There's like thousands of people talking about any topic. I have my own views, right? Even on whatever, how to play a blues. That's how the first episode. And it's pretty loose. It's just like, I like to keep it the structure, you know, kind of without a structure. Just like go in and maybe play a little bit and then try to see whatever comes up during my playing. And so I can talk about this concept, like, and mention something that I have practiced in the past that have helped me and that hopefully will help other people. That's the idea. And it's interactive as well. So people can either email me before or comment on Facebook or, you know, or go, but that's the best actually. If there's people live watching, thinking like, hey, can you talk about this? Can you talk about that? So that's
what do you advise your students or even yourself? You know, because there are a lot of people who would love to have that career of being able to play their music, but it's a challenge for artists to fund their lives.
Tell me about it. First, I would say just make sure you love it. You have to love, you know, like you have to really be passionate about it. There's no option, you know. If you're like half, well, yeah, I kind of, you know, like music, then do something else. Then definitely focus. You have to be like ready to go 100%. I listen a lot of people, you know, older musicians. So one name that pops to mind when you ask that, and that's one question that comes a lot, you know, like, oh, how, what do you advise younger musicians? One guy that comes, I'm just going to quote, I'm not going to say my opinion right now, but Dave Liebman, you know, saxophone player, he advises, his latest mantra is like to advise people to do double major, basically to have something to fall on. If I just answer myself, and I mean, there's lots of really successful musicians that don't go through, like, they have a completely different idea. They just say, like, no, if you really just make sure you do what you love. That's a cliche. Take care of the music and the music will take care of you, right? I'm kind of like a little bit more towards that. What I would say, you know, recommend to people that are getting started now, I would say, I still believe, I may ask me again in 5 years, we'll see. But I'm 33 right now. I'm about to turn 34. And I still believe that if you do what you really love and you put all your energy towards it, you will find a way. And I mean, there are options, like I said, like going into academia, you know, find a teaching position. That's what I'm going for, just to have a little bit more stability. I would say just first thing, just make sure you really are passionate about it. Put the passion first. If you start thinking too much, I guess, I mean, what I'm trying to get at, like, I see lots of musicians that have the business side of things down. You know, they are able to talk about how to build your career and etc., but they can't play. So it's kind of a paradox.
You have an album that you've recorded. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, that was too in Iowa. The director of the jazz program there, his name is John Rapson. Phenomenal guy, just super inspired. I met him in Brazil. That's why I wanted to go to the University of Iowa. And I went to the University of Iowa to pursue my master's. And they have, in the end of the course, you have the option of writing like a dissertation. But instead of doing that, you can record an album. I was like, yeah, that if you get in a degree in jazz performance, I'm just like, hell yeah, that's so. And that's it. That's the reason why, like, everybody has to do. But what I noticed, most people don't really, like, they do the CD as like the project for the degree, and then they kind of put it on a shelf, you know. But I was like, no, if I'm putting, you know, all this energy into this thing, let me try to. And I was lucky, very, very lucky, actually. There was a Brazilian composer and saxophone player, multi-instrumentalist, actually. His name is Roberto Sion, who happened to be there in Iowa as a guest artist. And I asked him to record my album, and he was 100% in. He didn't even want to charge. And this is a guy who was, who played and recorded with Antonio Carlos Jobim, you know, of all people in Brazilian music. He was associated with all major names in Brazilian music, but especially Jobim, that's like our main guy, right? Oh, and this guy was there, he recorded on the album as well. There was a little label in town called Real Town Records, and I also approached them and they backed the project as well. This is 2013, so I'm ready to talk about the next album, which has been way overdue. Like, I hope to get something done this year.
How do you go about your creative process?
I don't work out, but I go for walks, you know. I usually go for a walk and I usually have melodies in my head. Usually by the end of the walk, I have something in my mind and I can just write it out. You know, I can just like pick up the guitar and figure. That's how I compose usually.
Are there any tracks that stand out for you now that it's a little bit in the rearview mirror? What stands out from the first album?
I don't know. I like them all.
What else you have going on?
Yeah, just hoping, like, the music scene can. I mean, I can't really expect that it would go back to the way it was, you know, because honestly, it wasn't that great. I'm hoping that maybe something better. It's been fun, like, to start working at UIS, you know, it's a great, great pleasure. I'm excited, like, meet the students and everything. It's kind of weird that I don't really like have a relationship with the other faculty members because it's all so far all online. So I don't know, strange times.
There are a lot of people who really miss live music. I'm hoping what that means is when we are able to all get back together again, there's going to be even more support for musicians and concerts. Can you tell us a little bit about how it was growing up in Brazil? And
it's not a big jungle. There are no monkeys on this. You know, it's just like there are buildings. There is internet. Just basically, it's like maybe the food, I would say, I can say it was better from my perspective. It was easier to. Maybe the personal, I'm just, of course, like just real quick to summarize, you know, like just very general things. But like relationships with people, I think there was like people were more approachable. That's how I kind of remember. I could be wrong. It could be just a perspective from the person I was growing up. I have been in the States since 2011, but in between, I moved here to pursue my master's in music. Before that, it's just the passion with jazz music. I was getting really like trying to get closer to the source, you know, trying to most of like, of course, I also listen to a lot of Brazilian music. And if I mention my main influences, I would say guitarist Tony Horta, Milton Nascimento, like Tom Jobim, as I said, many people that I also love on the same level. But probably if I would say just from the top of my head, like the people that I really wanted to play with, maybe the majority of them were in the United States. The Masters was kind of an excuse, you know, to kind of get the visa as well.
UIS adjunct music professor Jose Govo Jr. talking about his love of guitar and how it brought him to Springfield from Brazil. A link to Jose's Wednesday Night Guitar podcast is posted at nprillinois.org. You can read about past Community Voices segments and listen on demand to most of them also at nprillinois.org. Suggest a guest. Email communityvoices@nprillinois.org. Community Voices airs weekdays at noon and Saturdays at 5 p.m. on NPR Illinois, 91.9 UIS. For V. Bonner, I'm Randy Eccles. Community Voices is a production of NPR Illinois. We'll take things out of this episode with Jose Govo Jr. and the track Sonny's Flash Drive.